Let us together turn to page 748, back of your hymnal. There you'll find Psalm 16, the middle portion of it anyway. Let us pray this psalm responsively. The Lord is my chosen portion and my cup. You hold my lot. The lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. I have a glorious heritage. I bless the Lord who gives me counsel. Even at night, my heart instructs me. I have set the Lord always before me. The Lord is at my right hand. I shall not be moved. Therefore, my heart is glad and my soul rejoices. My body also dwells secure. For you do not give me up to Sheol or let your godly one see the pit. You show me the path of life. In your presence there is fullness of joy. In your right hand are pleasures forevermore. If you pay attention during these 50 days of Easter, you might notice that we only have one Hebrew Bible lesson of a Sunday. The other three come from the New Testament. So we had Psalm 16, we'll have Acts, a reading from Acts, a reading from an epistle, 1 Peter, and then the Gospel of John. So let's now turn to the very beginning of the Acts of the Apostles, Acts 2:14a and verses 22 through 32. That will begin for you on page 111 in the New Testament of the Pew Bible, if you'd like to follow along. But Peter, standing with the 11, raised his voice and addressed them. You that are Israelites, listen to what I have to say. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested to you by God with deeds of power, wonders, and signs that God did through him among you, as you yourselves know, this man handed over to you according to the definite plan and foreknowledge of God, you crucified and killed by the hands of those outside the law. But God raised him up, having freed him from death, because it was impossible for him to be held in its power. For David says concerning him, I saw the Lord always before me, for he is at my right hand, so that I will not be shaken. Therefore my heart was glad and my tongue rejoiced. Moreover, my flesh will live in hope. For you will not abandon my soul to Hades, or let your Holy One experience corruption. You have made known to me the ways of life. You will make me full of gladness with your presence. Fellow Israelites, I may say to you confidently of our ancestor David that he both died and was buried, and his tomb is with us to this day. Since he was a prophet, he knew that God had sworn with an oath to him that he would put one of his descendants on the throne. Foreseeing this, David spoke of the resurrection of the Messiah, saying, he has not abandoned to Hades, nor did his flesh experience corruption. This Jesus God raised up, and of that all of us are witnesses. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Our epistle lesson today comes from 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 to 9, found in page 218 in the Pew Bible's New Testament. Hear these words. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. By his great mercy, he has given us a new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you, who are being protected by the power of God through faith for salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you rejoice, even if now for a little while you have had to suffer various trials, so that the genuineness of your faith may be more precious than gold that, though perishable, is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Although you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and rejoice with an indescribable and glorious joy. For you are receiving the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Let us turn now to the gospel of Jesus Christ according to John chapter 20, verses 19 through 31. It's in the Pew Bible, page 108. And just an interesting point, this is exactly the next words from the reading we had yesterday at Easter. It is the same day. It is Easter Sunday. Page 108. When it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." When he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." But Thomas, who was called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands and put my finger in the mark of the nails and my hand in his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were again in the house, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were shut, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Do not doubt, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe." Now, Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that through believing you may have life in his name. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Again, if you're paying attention, you'll recognize that last week on Easter Sunday, on this Sunday, and again next Sunday, all three times, our gospel lessons describe the responses of Jesus' followers when he revealed himself to them after the resurrection. All three times. These glorious stories help us to understand more fully just whom this Jesus the Christ truly is. But the stories also help us to empathize with his followers, because down deep, we are so very much like these brothers and sisters in the faith. When you think about the resurrection, it's a very good opportunity to reconsider an old but very wise description of Jesus Christ. It is said that Jesus is fully human and fully divine. Think about that. Fully human and fully divine. Now, as simple as that may sound at first, this concept of Jesus was the focus of many decades of debate and argument in the early church. Because the true nature of Christ is actually a mind-bending point of theology. How can you be fully divine and yet fully human? We often say in the Christian church that we believe in the incarnation. You've probably heard that, the incarnation. This means that God took on human flesh to become one of us in the person of Jesus of Nazareth. God became Jesus. Now, this is why Christmas is such a big deal. At Christmas time after Advent, we affirm that God made the conscious decision to contain God's self in a human package. That God would be born as a human baby to a human mother in that messy and miraculous process of human birth. Jesus lived our lives with all the trials and tribulations of being a human being, with only one exception. Jesus has always been recognized to be without sin. Jesus didn't sin. Jesus always followed God's will and always worked to make God's kingdom a reality. Therefore, Jesus never sinned. If you want to look at it in an overly simplistic way, you might say that Jesus never disobeyed God because Jesus is God. At the crucifixion on Good Friday, Jesus died our death in order to save us from our sin. Once and for all people, for all time. Jesus died just as each of us will one day die, a truly human death. And in that one very human act, Jesus forever vanquished the power of sin and death for every person who accepts the love of God, for every person. Such is the gifts of God's grace to each of us. But remember, Jesus is fully human and fully divine. And what that means is that after 3 days, when Jesus' body lay in that tomb, Jesus was brought back to life in the resurrection. But it wasn't the same human body, and it wasn't the same human life that he had lived. It wasn't a body like yours and mine. Some people describe his body after the resurrection as a spiritual body. Well, what the heck does that mean? Well, the Apostle Paul wrestles with that throughout the epistles in those letters that he wrote to the people of the early church. We get a few hints about the true nature of this resurrection of body of Jesus in the gospel stories. We'll read about it this week. We'll read about it next week. And then you need to look to the other gospel writers because they also have hints about what that body was like. But listen again, if you would, to the first sentence from today's passage from John. When it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Now, this is a pretty neat trick. Not only did Jesus come back from the dead, but with his new resurrection body, Jesus is able to go through locked doors. Jesus is fully divine and fully human indeed. Well, let's switch gears here. The other fascinating part of this story is the beautiful way that Jesus understands human nature. He loves his followers dearly, both those people who met in that locked upper room, as well as each one of us here today. Now, typically, on this first Sunday of Easter, the pastor will focus on the story of doubting Thomas. How many times have you heard that sermon? Doubting Thomas, a few, like every year. Well, you've heard it a lot because it's a great part of this story. It's perhaps the most important part. All of us can easily understand the doubt and disbelief that Thomas and other people must surely have felt when they encountered Jesus for the first time. Think about it. Jesus was dead. Absolutely, completely dead. But their eyes and their ears and their hands and their hearts are telling them that Jesus is alive again. So yes, please keep this story of doubting Thomas in your mind, because clearly Thomas represents each of us in our inherent doubt and downright skepticism. But let's also focus on another element of this story. Starting with that first sentence that I just reread to you, Jesus says something to his followers three times. Three times. So it must be an important part of the story. Three times Jesus says, "Peace be with you." Simple, but profound. Jesus addresses their current emotional state, but Jesus also challenges their way of thinking about the world, as Jesus so often does. Peace be with you. Now, Jesus clearly understands that his followers are fearful, terrified even, when they see him for the first time. Think about that. This was the most important, probably the single most important and influential person in their lives, the focus of their lives, if you will. And they watched as he was brutally and violently murdered before their eyes. Yet here he was, Jesus, alive and in the flesh. Peace be with you. Everything is okay. Don't be afraid. I'm back and things are going to be just fine. Peace be with you. But Jesus says the very same thing when he gives them their new marching orders. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." When he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." Jesus is deputizing his followers. He's sending them out into the world to do the work that he began. He reminds them that they are to have a new worldview. They are to have the perspective of God's peace, of God's kingdom, of God's shalom. Peace be with you. You should carry along with you my peace. You should strive first for the kingdom of God. You should show the same compassion and active love that I have shown during my time on this earth. You should promote peace and true justice by working hard to make the kingdom of God a reality right here and right now. And I will give to you my Holy Spirit in order to make this possible. You won't be working alone. Jesus Christ is risen. My sisters and brothers, Jesus told his followers in that locked upper room the very same thing that he says to each of us. Peace be with you. Don't be afraid. I send you into the world to do the will of God, to bring about the kingdom of God. Peace be with you. Amen.